Would you turn your Bible to Isaiah, please? Isaiah chapter 24. I wonder why the Lord does not show even the tiniest portion of the Great Tribulation or hell, so that people, the unbelievers of the world, would turn their heart to Him. Then ever so gently, the Holy Spirit speaks to my heart. They said to me that there would be a raw power of God, not by the free will of man. God does not force His way into anybody's life, anybody's decision. I'm so glad born-again Christian will not be going through any portion of the Great Tribulation, because we'll be taken away before that happens, before the hell on earth will break loose. Amen? We'll start at the chapter 24, verse 17. Let's pray. Father, again, we come to your presence and asking you to speak to us and show us Jesus. We want to see Jesus. Only Him. We want to hear Him. Only Him. We want to hear His voice through your word, what He does and what He will do in our lives, that we may mimic Him, we may imitate Him. By doing so, we may glorify you in Father, the Father in heaven, as He did while He was on earth. Teach us. Our hearts open, our minds open for you to write your letter to us. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 17, now we see that Jesus judging the earth. Fear and the pit and the snare are upon you, O inhabitant of the earth. It shall be that he who flees from the noise of the fear shall fall upon the pit, and he who comes from the midst of the pit shall be caught in the snare. For the windows from the high are open, and the foundation of the earth are shaken. What would that be? Foundation of the earth was shaken. Earthquake, right? And the earth is violently broken, the earth is split open, the earth is shaken exceedingly. The earth shall reel to and fro like a drunkard, and shall totter like a hart. Its transgression shall be heavy upon it, and it will fall and not rise again. It shall come to pass in that day that the Lord will punish on high the host of exalted ones, and on the earth the kings of the earth. They will be gathered together as prisoners are gathered in the pit, and it will be shut up in the prison, After many days they will be punished. Then the moon will be disgraced, and the sun ashamed. For the Lord of hosts will reign on the mount Zion and in Jerusalem and before his elders gloriously. Stop there, please. And at the white throne judgment, those unbelievers will wish that they spoke one less lie and one less wicked things against the Lord, and as well as other human beings. The judgment of God will be inescapable, complete, no legality, and precise and righteous, because our God is no respecter of a person. Nobody's higher, nobody's lower. Everybody will be judged according to what they've done, according to what kinds of decision they made. Motives will be judged, and the word spoken will be judged. I said this, it's worth, in my opinion, it's worth. Hugh Hefner, once he said, he claimed that he's the hottest guy on earth. He will be the hottest guy in hell. What we just read in chapter 24 is what will happen during the 7-year tribulation. Especially chapter 9, verse 19 through 20, we just read, it describes a major earthquake that rattled everything around the world. You might have heard the title, the Ring of Fire. Have you ever heard that? The Ring of Fire is the area around the world, the basin of the Pacific Ocean, that a large number of earthquakes and volcano eruption occurs. The total length from down here going through the Malaysia and the Philippines, all the Bering Sea down to the Chile, all of that was a 25,000 miles long. And the horseshoe shape, and it is associated with a nearly continuous series of the oceanic trenches, volcanic arc and volcanic belts, and the plate movement. Do you know what the plate movement is? In case you don't know, it's instead of even like this or leveled, the portion of the earth start to move, shifting below or above. Once that happens from the below the ocean, all that movement will push the water to the one direction or another. Guess what happened when that happened from the bottom of the sea? The top of the ocean will start making a major wave known as tsunami. This area, Oregon and Washington area, they have proven record. Every 250 years, they had a major tsunamis. So far, they are 75 years behind. I think it's 70 or 75 years behind the schedule. In other words, it can come and hit it, and people will say, well, we'll have enough time. Tsunami travels between 500 to 600 miles per hour. Did you get that? Do you know that's the speed of a Boeing 747 flying at the top good speed without the resistance from the headwind? So it starts from here and it will hit Oregon and Seattle area. How many people do you think that we're going to lose there? And San Francisco, San Jose, all of that. Silicon Valley will go down the drain. Yeah. Yuma will become ocean property, ocean front. The Lord Jesus might use this part as a part of the earthquake during the Great Tribulation time. We cannot talk about the end time prophecy without mentioning rapture, the rapture. This theology is surrounded by many heresies, including time setting. I'm sure you guys heard all the different formula. But when Jesus said, no one knows, it means what? No one knows. I don't know which part of no one knows they don't get it. But they always come up with some sort of formula. They think that they know better than God. As many of you already know, generally there are four concepts of time of the rapture. Pre-trib, before the tribulation. Mid-trib, somewhere in the middle of the tribulation. And post-trib. Actually, mid-trib is pretty much in the right smack dab in the middle. And post-trib is after the tribulation. The last one that has absolutely no biblical reference is a pan-trib, somewhere anywhere in between the middle of the tribulation time. Yeah, it will pan out. Why does this debate concerning the timing of this event continues? I believe that it is due to the misunderstanding to whom Jesus was speaking to. One of the phrases that these people, especially post-trib people use and the mid-trib people use is in Matthew chapter 24, verse 21 through 22. Go there, please. Matthew 24, 21 through 22. For then there shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, known, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, they should no flesh be saved. for the elect's sake. Note that word elect. Underline, highlight, I don't care what you do. Note that word. Elect's sake. For the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Now, on the basis of this verse, people say, aha, here we see the elect in the tribulation. However, they are failing to realize that the term elect can be referred to in three groups of people. First, Christians, Colossians 3:12, Israel in general, Isaiah 45:4, and those who will be saved during the tribulation time. Some people believe that when the rapture happens, Holy Spirit will leave the earth with the saints, with the believers. No, Holy Spirit will just simply step out of the way so that the evil can do whatever they choose to do. He will not leave the earth. If he leaves the earth, how are the people going to be saved? Right? So, with that said, to which of the elect does Jesus in Matthew 24:21 talking about? I believe the answer lies in the verse preceding it. So go to verse 20, please. Remember what I said? The best way to interpret the Bible is using what? By using the Bible. So we go through the verse in context. But pray that your flight may be not in the winter, neither on the what? Sabbath day. Okay, even to this day, I mentioned this on one of the Sunday morning, even to this day, the majority of public and private transportation in Israel come to screeching halt. Forget about the hailing the cab in Jerusalem. You ain't going to find it. Since the Sabbath means nothing to the Gentile nation, this application is clearly fall to who? Israeli people. No one else. So when you see the prophecy, you not only have to know now when it's going to happen, also you have to know whom this prophecy is concerning. Are you with me? Prophecy does not apply to everybody all the time. It can apply to the church, it can apply to the Israeli people, or it can apply to the people it happened before and it may not happen to somebody else. I had an occasion to talk with someone who was a staunch believer for the mid-tribulation concept. He made a good argument for how we can draw parallel between the Matthew 24 and Revelation 6. I'm talking about four horsemen. But he firmly argued with me that the church would go through the tribulation. The one very important thing he didn't include is in his equation is the elect was not the church. In context, as we studied in verse 20, in this case, it's the people of Israel. Are you with me? Besides, you don't find anywhere from chapter 6 through 19 of a book of Revelation referring to church. Some people also argue that those who get saved during the tribulation are the church. No, they are not. The Apostle Paul, rather Apostle John, the author of the book of Revelation, stopped using the word church after the chapter 3. Do you know how many times he used the word church in the book of Revelation? I counted it, 7 times, from chapter 2 to chapter 3. Only there. And nowhere else. Huh?
7 churches.
Yeah. 7 churches. And never again in the book of Revelation. Alright. Go down to chapter 27 of Isaiah, verse 6, please. Those who come, he shall cause to take root in Jacob. Israel shall blossom and bud, and will and fill the face of the world with fruit. The land of Israel was a desolate swamp land before 1900, early 1900s. as Zionists, the Jewish people started the movement called Zionist movement. They grew, and the Jewish people began to open up the dirt pile that blocked the swamp land. They look around, they survey the land, and saw which side is high. And they opened up that dirt pile. All of a sudden, that water that filled the swamp land started to get drained. Then what? That bottom of the swamp land is rich. All they had to just throw the seed, boom! The tree comes up and fruit comes up. And it turned it from the swamp land to the fertile farmland. It was so much so that this Jewish little country, do you know how big the entire Israel is? To compare with one of the 50 states in our country, it's the size of the New Jersey. So, excuse me, New Jersey, right? Jersey. That's small, but it's the fourth biggest country that exports the fruits around the world. Practically all the fruit that Europe has, majority, and not all, the majority of fruit that Europe consumes are from Israel. And the Lord foretold this over 2,700 years ago. All right, this prophecy must have sounded ridiculous to the people while the nation of Israel did not exist before 1948. Since they couldn't imagine how God could bring back Israel to life, and they are thinking about Ezekiel 38, 39, and all this bone comes back to life and become a mighty army, and they read this portion of the Isaiah 27, they said, oh, I get it, this can't be, they came up with their own conclusion, this can't be actual Israel, but this must be the church that replaced ancient and non-existing Israel. Some Bible scholars say that the church is now the spiritual Israel, and all of these Old Testament promises are now being fulfilled in spiritual sense in the church. This theology is known as a replacement theology. I'm sure you heard, and I mentioned it several times from the pulpit. The late D. James Kennedy was the central figure in 20th and 21st century for this theology. Though I have a great respect for this godly man, he was dead wrong on this theology. Contrary to those the replacement theology scholars, the Apostle Paul devoted entire chapter of 11 of the Book of Romans to present proof that God is not through with Israel. Remember talking about grafted into the tree. We are the one who grafted into that tree, not Israel. He didn't use the axe to cut down the tree of Israel and put us in the ground. He grafted us into that. Alright, 28, chapter 28, verse 16. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion a stone for a foundation, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. Whoever believes will not act hastily. Amen. As the people of Judah only hope was the tried and true foundation stone, that is Jesus Christ, our hope also should remain with Him. He is our rock of all ages, and all the other ground is what? Sinking sand. If they had faith in their God, Jehovah, they would not rush back and forth to try to make an alliance with the other nations. This practice started with their forefather, King Solomon, King Solomon had like no other kings. He had a profound assurance from God Himself. If you remain with me, I will protect you. What did he do? He go around and getting married with some other nations of princes, so he can have an alliance with those nations or surrounding countries. Of course, there are a bunch of pagan princes, and they brought their own idols, and he ended up falling away from God. He rather depend on the flimsy alliance with foreign nations than immovable God. And you may say, well, how stupid. I wouldn't do that. Really? Don't we do that? It may be a different scenario, but we rather trust the things that we see than the unseen God. This scripture was quoted by the Apostle Peter in his epistle, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 6. The Apostle applies this passage directly to the Messiah, Jesus Christ. He is the foundation for our lives, and only with a secure, stable foundation can be anything lasting be built. Anything add on to the house not built upon the foundation is sure to end up in the wreckage. During the time, the builder must lay down the cornerstone first, and he could put the rest of the stone together. God laid Jesus as our cornerstone, and we must align ourselves with Jesus. Otherwise, we are putting our foundation in the sinking sand. Then if we align ourselves with Jesus, we will have a firm foundation in our lives. Without that, our lives will be no different than unbelievers. Prime example of a bad foundation is the Leaning Tower of Pisa. According to scientists, 8-story, 179-foot bell tower moves about 1/20 of an inch every year. It's now 17 feet out of plumb. In other words, if you measure from here like this, from here to here is 17 feet. Oh, you've been up there? You know how? You know why? It's the Tower of Pisa, which means much land. That should give them some sort of clue. Actually, this thing started to tilt before it was finished. Yeah, I had a chance to go to New Orleans. Yeah, I was sorry that I was there. That is one wicked town. I was walking around. It was a Sunday afternoon, so the majority of shops were closed. We were doing the company some activities that we were supposed to do. On the window, they had this voodoo stuff. I looked at it. My hair just stood up. Anyway, during the trip, the guide told us, they don't bury people underground. Yeah. If you notice their grave site, it's all above the ground. Because anytime they dig the ground deeper than 6 feet, the water comes up. Water table is so low, so shallow, the water comes up. If we are not grounded in the Word of God daily, can you say with me, daily? It's like we do not have a good foundation in our life. The Bible is not something we carry to the church only. Rather, it should carry us in the making decisions every day. As you have heard, it doesn't matter how many times you go through the Bible in your life. What matters is how deep the Bible goes through you. Verse 5 of chapter 35, please. Chapter 35, verse 5. Now we see Jesus healing. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then the lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of dumb sing. The water shall burst forth in the wilderness, and the stream in the desert. Stop there. Even as strong, spirit-filled believers goes from difficult and go through difficult and depressed times. Now and then, right? We all go through that kind of thing. Not every day is a rosy day. Not every day is has a rainbow. When John the Baptist was in prison, he apparently confused about why Jesus hasn't established his kingdom on earth yet. John the Baptist baptized Jesus. He saw the Holy Spirit coming down to Jesus like a dove, in the shape of a dove. And he heard a voice, God speaking to Jesus, "This is my son whom I am well pleased." He witnessed all of that, so he was fully expecting Jesus would start the kingdom. But he didn't think that it's going to be in heaven. John the Baptist, even though he was filled with the Holy Spirit, he was a mere human. So he was sent out to his disciples and asking Jesus. Go to Matthew chapter 11, please. Matthew 11, verse 4. Jesus answered and said to them, "Go and tell," when Jesus met the disciples, "go and tell John the things which you hear and see. The blind see, and the lame walk, and the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he who is not offended because of me." By reading this, I get, if I'm understanding correctly, this is before the Lazarus, right? In other words, Lazarus was not the only person Jesus raised. The son of a widow was another one. And remember the little girl of the Jairus? That's another. Yeah, that was the boy. So these are the fulfillments of the prophecy that Isaiah said when the Messiah Jesus came. I don't know about you, but I'm enjoying this Jesus in the Bible study. Go to chapter 40, please. Verse 3. The voice of one crying in the wilderness. You guys already know what I'm talking about. John the Baptist prepared the way of the Lord, making straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill brought low. The crooked places shall be made straight, and the rough place smooth. Skip down to the verse 11. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs with his arms and carry them in his bosom, and gently lead those who are with young. Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, and measured heaven with a span, and calculate the dust of the earth with a measure, and weigh the mountain in a scale, and the hills in a balance. Who has directed the Spirit of the Lord? Or as his counselor has taught him? With whom did he take counsel, and who instructed him? Almost like you are reading the book of Job again, right? At the end portion of the book of Job, when God was chastising Job, showed him the way of understanding. Verse 15, "Behold, the nations are a drop in a bucket," I love that, "and are counted as a small dust on the scales. Look, he lifts up the isles as a very little thing, and the Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, nor its beast is sufficient for a burnt offering. All nations before him are as nothing, and they are counted by him less than nothing and worthless." We think that this country is great and wonderful. Yeah, it is great and wonderful until the politicians spoil everything. But this is nothing to compare with God's beauty. Here's a word picture of the idea of preparing the way of the Lord. Because the real preparation to receive Him must take place in our heart. Of course, this portion of the scripture reminds you and me of the ministry of John the Baptist. I love the way that Isaiah described the Lord as a gentle shepherd in verse 11. Then we find the greatness of God over anything in the universe in verse 12 through 17. Measuring the water with the hollow of his hand. You know what the hollow of his hand is? Little scoop area? All the ocean and all of that stuff goes in the tiny portion. And then he can measure the entire universe with the span of his hand. By the way, the region that is visible in our eyes in the telescope are the 4,600 light years from one end to the another end, what we can see with even the digitalized telescope is 4,600 light years. And the scientist found that the universe is still expanding. And he can measure that thing with a span of his hand. Alright, then the people will ask question. Does it mean God has actually man figure? No. There's another example of what we call anthropomorphism. After the service, there will be a spelling test. I'll give you about 5 minutes for you to write that thing down. It's a speaking of God in human terms so we can partially understand who He is, what He does. God is not being a body of giant or so large that all the waters of the earth could be cupped in His actual hand, or so large the universe could be measured by the span of His hand. God the Father, remember what the Apostle John said. He was inspired by the Holy Spirit. He said, God is what? Spirit. He does not have a physical body. Out of the Trinity, the one who has a physical body is Jesus. Can He measure the universe with the span of His hand? Not while He was on the earth. It's one of those things. Can God create a rock so heavy that He cannot lift it up? But at the same time, is there any rock that He cannot lift up? Is it which one you want to go for? That's a dumb question to ask. What I'm saying is, in the Bible, since God is so enormous, He's so vast, so beyond our comprehension, He's unfathomable, the author, Holy Spirit, had to put that thing into the childlike lingo. Am I making sense? Childlike lingo to us so that we can grasp even the tiny portion of His beauty and majesty. And you may say, well, we are not our children. Oh, yeah, to compare with Him, we are. When we talk to little ones, we don't talk to them with the same lingo we use to one another here. We have to talk down to their level so that they can understand. And I also love the way Isaiah said about the nation, a drop in the bucket in verse 15. All the superpower nations are showing off their military power to impress one another. And all of that, I like the way he said, they are less than nothing. Less than nothing. I love it. Listen to me, my brothers and sisters. If you ever feel so small and so insignificant that you wonder if God really cares about you personally, remember that He knows the name of every star and your name. Remember what Jesus said. He even knows the number of our hair. For some of us, it's easy to count. No one I'm particularly mentioning about. John chapter 10, please. John chapter 10, verse 3, please. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. Do you know this verse spoke to me as I become a pastor? And also another verse that ringing in my heart was, they know me by my voice, and I know them. before we started church, I decided I'm going to remember everybody's name. The reason why he's saying is that I went to the doctor, and doctor told me that one of the side effects of Prilosec is a short-term memory loss. Short-term memory loss. Cannot be helped. Okay. Can we go back to, what was that? So I decided to memorize people's name. And we have about, including children, we have about 120 to 130 people. I memorized everybody's name. To me, it's important. You know why it's important to me? Because it's important to you. Didn't the Bible said that you two become one? The same God who numbers and names all the stars can heal your broken hearts if you let Him. That's the key point. If you let Him. Highlight circle with write it with the bold letters. Psalm 147, please. Psalm 147, verse 3. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. He counts the number of the stars and calls them all by name. There's a disadvantage knowing everybody's name. Instead of people going through the roster that I send out to the people, they call me. Do you know so-and-so? What's their phone number? What do I look like, an operator? Someone has defined the circumstance as those nasty things you see when you get your eyes off of God. Isn't that good? I like that. It's not bad at all. If you look at God through your circumstances, He will seem small and very far away. But if by faith you look at your circumstance through God, He will draw very near and reveal His greatness to you. Amen. Four applications. Do you like that, Terry? First one. No one is more secure than those who are in God's hand. Remember the flood that condemned and judged all the people on the earth? The same flood water lifted up the Noah's family that saved them. God's judgment to one at the same time that can be the salvation to others. As long as we are in His hand, we are unbeatable. Second application. The Lord will keep every promise mentioned in this book, the Bible. Believe it. Whether we believe it or not, He will keep it. Because they are truth. They are His promises. Third application. God's judgment storm for America is coming. Actually, it's already here. Don't be at the receiving end. Be on God's side. Fourth application. Look at others and be distressed. Look at yourself. Be depressed. Look at God. Amen?